Move by Mamma Mia is the exercise app for anybody, anywhere. And in case you missed it, we dropped a brand new stretching collection that can be used to improve mobility and bookend your favourite sweat sessions. Mamma Mia subscribers get unlimited access to Move, and we drop new workouts every single week. If you're on the hunt for movement that makes you feel good, head to move.mamamia.com.au and use the code MOVE10 to get $10 off a yearly subscription.
You're listening to a Mamma Mia podcast.
Mamma Mia acknowledges the traditional owners of land and waters that this podcast is recorded on. From Mamma Mia, welcome to The Spill, your daily pop culture fix. I'm Laura Brodnick.
And I'm Charlie Begg.
And on today's show, an interesting, somewhat dangerous fashion trend, some would say, has crept back into the spotlight. We've seen Anya Taylor-Joy embrace it. We've seen Kim Kardashian, of course, at the forefront of it. We're going to get into that because we have very mixed thoughts about it. But first,
Laura, I need to talk to you about the new Anne Hathaway film, The Idea of You. Have you seen the trailer?
Oh, I have mainlined that trailer into my eyeballs this morning from the moment it came out. I've watched it twice because there was quite a bit of hype around it.
So much hype around it. So if you haven't seen it, the trailer for The Idea of You, the new Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galitzine film, just dropped today.
How did you guys meet? We need to know the story.
We met at Coachella.
Someone, we need you up front.
Okay.
Like, now.
I don't know if you remember me, but we met in Coachella.
Yes, I remember you.
This piece is from my friend Sarah.
What's it called?
Unclose Me.
What do you feel when you look at it?
Everything.
I'm too old for you.
I don't know.
What about what people will say?
I don't care what they say.
I didn't know my being happy would piss so many people off.
Did I not warn you? People hate happy women.
So it's based on the 2017 novel of the same name by Robin Lee. Anne Hathaway plays a 40-year-old single mom who owns an art gallery and whose husband has left her for a younger woman. She takes her daughter to Coachella and she ends up meeting Hayes Campbell, the 24-year-old lead singer of a boy band called August Moon, played by Nicholas Galitzine. And although Lee has never confirmed the book was about Harry Styles and was like a One Direction fan fiction book, everyone's pretty convinced it is.
Yeah, it's been kicking around in fan fiction circles for many, many years. And obviously there's a few similarities to this idea of a boy band but having one breakout star and everyone fantasizing about what it would be like if that breakout star fell madly in love with you. And there's been a lot of hype for this movie because of the age gap thing and Anne Hathaway, which, I mean, it's not a crazy age gap. It's over 20 years, but in terms of scandal, it's pretty scandal light. But I think where a lot of the interest has come from is not just the Harry Styles kind of element in that fan fiction, but also the fact that it's got an R rating, which when you watch the trailer is so interesting because the trailer itself feels like just a classic rom-com,
it's
right?
It's giving M, not even an MA-15.
But I also feel like the trailer comes across as more very rom-com-esque, very will they, won't they. It's got a very much like a Romeo and Juliet overtones to it. But I think the movie itself, because it's rated R for explicit sex scenes, that we'll be seeing quite a bit of that. And it's so interesting how everyone is frothing so much over their on-screen chemistry and they haven't had to do any wild publicity stunts of pretending they're together or anything like that, which, you know, Anne Hathaway's been married for a long time with two kids. So I feel like that would be pretty high stakes publicity stunt for her, but it kind of goes to show that you can have people obsessed with on-screen chemistry and not have to think they're actually having sex in real life.
Absolutely. And I just have to put it out there. Anne Hathaway looks fantastic.
She looks great. She looks her fringe in this is top tier. That's what I always notice.
Her hair looks so good. And also, have you seen the movie Red One and Royal Blue?
Oh, I've only seen it about four times. Yes, he is in this. As soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, I love this guy.
It's another fan fiction adaptation and it was a fantastic movie, queer love story. It was brilliant. So sadly, it doesn't come out for a while, but you can watch The Idea of You on Amazon Prime on May 2nd.
And now we need to talk about something a little less sexy, unfortunately, but still just as topical, a dangerous new fashion trend that I'm just going to say is your ribs are not in for a treat.
Golly, my corset's tight.
Full corset. This corset is really uncomfortable.
I shall need a whalebone corset.
It's a corset.
It's torture.
Do you think I could be a sensation without the corset?
Where's your corset?
I don't know why we bother with corsets.
So corsets have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, probably longer than that, and they've always been very much a staple in fashion and pop culture. They had a really big resurgence a couple of years ago when Bridgerton first came out. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Regency Core was huge and all the brands jumped on it.
Yes, and so many Etsy sellers reported they had over a 90% jump in orders for very old school corsetry to mimic the fashion on that show. So in the past couple of weeks, as we've had multiple fashion weeks and events and red carpets for big movie premieres, we've seen corsetry very much creep back into fashion speak in a very big way. So one of the first moments where this corset conversation kicked off was Anya Taylor-Joy, who is a surprise star in Dune Part 2. So no one kind of knew she was in the movie, and then she started appearing on the red carpets in her very kind of extravagant ethereal fashion
style.
About to
say very ethereal. Yes. Lots of white.
Yes. And so she wore this beautiful golden black gown to the premiere in New York. But prior to that, she had posted a black and white image on her Instagram account where she's wearing like a very old fashioned corset. Because obviously corsetry, just that look, is something you can kind of buy everywhere. This is like a proper boned corset.
Oh, like actually her waist, like strapping.
Yeah. In. Her waist is completely strapped in to quite an extreme amount. And she also captioned the post with just an hourglass emoji, because obviously that's what the corset is trying to give you, is that old school Marilyn Monroe look of like boobs, wider hips, and then like a tiny minuscule waist where all of your ribs have been like pushed up right into your chest, so they're coming out your throat, I think is the technical term.
Oh gosh.
And so a lot of people loved this post and thought it was really beautiful and high fashion, and obviously she has a really big following. But then the commentary under the post and the articles that were written about it were very mixed, because a lot of people said that it was promoting a very unrealistic figure. It was hearkening back to those old school Tumblr days, and a trend that we now see so much more on Instagram and maybe even more so on TikTok now, that trend of glamorizing this very unattainable body standard of this very tiny waist and leaning into this romanticization of a look that people achieve through like eating disorders or contorting their body and glamorizing that. And the emoji and the black and white coloring of the photo, it didn't make it look very otherworldly glamorous.
No, and it's an unrealistic beauty standard.
It's such an unrealistic standard.
Like, women don't naturally look like that. They're using this thing where they really are affecting like their major organs to make themselves look like this.
And so the other corset moment we've had recently is, of course, from Kim Kardashian, who has been working the corsets and the waist trainers for many years. And she posed a photo on her Instagram where she's wearing this cream-coloured, very old-school structured corset. So she's got her breast pressed right up and this tiny, tiny little waist going into accentuating her hips. And it's a look that she's really favoured over the years. From where she wore that, remember that iconic wet-look dress that she wore to the Met Gala?
Gala that was quite controversial. Like, don't get me wrong, she looked amazing, but I don't think I've ever seen a waist in the wild that looks that small.
Because it kind of, her getting into that dress, I think, is more over the top, and the corsetry that was used more so than the Marilyn Monroe dress, where she talked about not eating for weeks and all that craziness and training 6 hours a day to fit into it. But because they had to change the shape of her body to wear that dress.
It was terrifying.
So Anna, if I don't sit down for dinner, now you know why. I'll be walking around, mingling, talking, but I cannot hardly sit.
Her waist does look otherworldly. It's kind of hard too, because I understand it's art and it's fashion and it's a look that's been around for such a long time, and that dress and that wet look that she had in the corsetry is all part of how iconic that outfit is. But it's when you look back at the history of corsets where it becomes a bit more problematic. So after the break, we'll get more into the history of corsetry in Hollywood and why it's so problematic. But I've got to say, I feel like I've got an unpopular opinion about where I land on this.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Okay, so before we get into our thoughts, we have to have a very, very quick history lesson on corsets. Corsets date back to the late 1400s, when Europeans would separate the skirt and the bodice into two garments. They were made from really stiff, unforgiving material like whalebone, horn, and buckram that you would either hook up at the front or the back, or lace. And the reason they were used was they were a tool that would help women achieve what they thought was a fashionable silhouette, which was the very well-known hourglass silhouette. And women were literally like breaking ribs because of this. And then flash forward to the 1900s, and the corset was worn in so many different ways. You would still wear it as shapewear, but it could also be lingerie or as a top. Think like Marilyn Monroe wearing them throughout the 1950s, and then like the 80s when Madonna would wear them on stage. So they really had quite the transition, but they've always been very problematic in the way they've shaped women.
Oh, yeah, like there's medical documentation that show the long-term effects of wearing corsets, because like a corset or a waist trainer are very much like if you wear them long-term and in a specific way, like the point of them is that they'll alter your body permanently in a way to change the position of things, change how your waist is and all that sort of thing, which can be quite problematic in a health sense. So you can experience shortness of breath, even fainting if the compression is too much. It always makes me think of that scene in, you know, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Yeah.
Keira Knightley's character. Elizabeth Swann,
oh, when they
got the corset
when they're
so much,
into it,
yes. And then she faints and falls into the water and nearly drowns.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
Well, women in London must have learnt not to breathe.
And I feel like that is a very accurate representation of where corsetry has taken some women. But I feel like there's two different conversations that have been a bit more convoluted here. And I think the backlash that Anya Taylor-Joy got, which was more than Kim Kardashian, I don't know if that's because with Kim Kardashian, there's been so much history of her talking about a problematic body image, or there's been so many times where she's altered her body in a way that people have found upsetting, or that she's so like unashamedly talked about waist trainers and wearing corsetry for so long that her posting one corset picture didn't really ruffle feathers. Whereas with Anya Taylor-Joy, she's never had any kind of conversation like that around her. So maybe that's why it hit more. But I feel like the unrealistic body standards and tying it completely to corsetry is maybe a bit of a long bow, because I think like corsetry can exist in pop culture and in fashion in a way that doesn't have to be overly damaging. It was more the way the picture was taken and the way her waist looked in it, and obviously the effect it was trying to give, more so than just wearing a corset under a dress. Because when you saw her dress on the red carpet, it didn't look like that.
I also think there are two ways to wear corsets. Like they've really had a resurgence since Bridgerton, as we said, and you think of like Australian designers like Dion Lee, who were really at the forefront of showing off that boning, but it was more about the look rather than actually changing the shape of the body. And it can be such a fashion statement. Yes, of course, they can make your waist look smaller, but they can also just be a piece of clothing that makes you feel really like confident. Like they've got quite great structure to them and they're cool. I remember in 2021, even me buying into it and buying a corset.
You bought a corset?
Looking top, corset inspired
top.
Oh,
sure. Yeah, those have been around for ages. I remember buying one at Supre when I was like 15 that probably just had a corset painted on the front but didn't actually hold anything in.
Yeah, this had full like bits of like metal through it and very structured bodice, but it was about how it gave off a little bit of armor, something, it was cool. And it made you feel confident and empowered. But I think it's a problematic issue when someone is trying to change the shape of their body and possibly altering it, as opposed to it being a fashion accessory.
Yes, exactly. And that's my unpopular opinion, is I feel like people latch on to these things because it just makes the conversation a bit easier to say like corsets are bad, these images are bad, ban that, instead of looking into the deeper problem of how we're really regressing in terms of body image in pop culture and on screen, in terms of everyone having these smaller, very identical bodies. And instead of tying that to corsets, I think we should also say that a lot of people who work in the fashion industry and like people who work as costumers for like TV and film have always been making the point that corsets have evolved over time. So when you say like, well, hundreds of years ago, they would tie themselves and their ribs would break. We don't really have those corsets anymore. Like the kind of structure has evolved. But I think what people are reacting to is not the corset. I think it's important to say that corsets can be worn by anyone in a way, because corsetry has also always been like quite a big thing in the plus size fashion community, because they're adjustable, they can help you work into different garments. They're this classic style that a lot of people lean towards that has been a bit more accessible to everyone. Like you can find corsets in different sizes, obviously not in complete plus sizes because, you know, the fashion industry is still very behind on
that.
But I feel like there's also that side of it that's a really beautiful side of like celebrating this piece of fashion that isn't tied to just wanting this tiny waist. So I think it's more of a body image problem than a fashion problem.
Thanks for listening to The Spill today. We'll see you on mamamia.com.au and back here in your podcast feed at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Bye.